50 days after Passover, in what would be the central ritual of the day, dough was leavened deliberately and brought in the presence of God and waved by the priest standing before the altar. Welcome to 10-Minute Mitzvah, Episode 103, The President and Passover. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In 2013, the President of the United States arrived in Israel with his entire entourage just a few days before the beginning of Pesach, Passover. As usual, the King David Hotel was entirely taken up by the President's party. But this time, as the Israeli media reported, there was a twist. The hotel had already been prepared for all of the guests that were coming for the holiday. All leavened foods had been entirely removed. The kitchen had already been rendered kosher for Passover. And that meant that only one sort of morsel was available. As the Times of Israel put it regarding the president's party, quote, their hotel, the King David in Jerusalem, will already be kosher for Passover, so they won't be allowed to eat bread or other foods forbidden during the week-long festival. That means pasta, pizza, and all kinds of other baked goods will be unavailable to all guests, superpower leaders included, and they won't be permitted to sneak forbidden foods into the premises either. And then the article goes on to explain. Passover marks the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, and among other traditions, it is observed by abstaining from eating bread and replacing it with matzah, unleavened bread. Jewish tradition also has people rid their homes of traces of various grain-based baked goods, and hotels that obey the rabbinic requirements undergo a thorough cleaning a week or two before Passover. And the article ends with, still, the president and his delegation can always eat out or dine with friends. He's due on March 20, and the festival proper starts on the eve of March 25. End quote. When I first read reports such as these, ladies and gentlemen, I found them immensely amusing, and I was able to imagine it in my mind. President ordering a sandwich, the most powerful person on earth, asking for, say, a piece of pizza. And he is told, no, I'm sorry, Mr. President, we can't have any pizza or bread. How about a nice macaroon? But then I thought, actually, that there is a sublime symbolism to this. Because, as we've discussed in a previous episode of 10-Minute Mitzvah, the altar of the tabernacle and temple was, as it were, kosher for Passover all year round. Thus we are informed in Leviticus, Kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem lo te'afech hametz. Any grain offering that is offered unto the Lord, thou shalt not bake in leavened state. The altar of the Almighty, which is known in rabbinic texts as the Shulchan Gavoa, the table of the one above, never has leaven. Thus, in a certain way, informing a state dignitary that only matzah and matzah-based products are on offer is, one can suggest, an honor. After all, if it's good enough for God, it's certainly good enough for the President of the United States. It is with this in mind that we may begin to appreciate our mitzvah for the day, referenced in the article about the President's entourage. The commandment first given in Egypt, Moses informing the Israelites that for generations, throughout all Passover, leaven and leavening agents should be removed from one's home. Lo yiroa lecha se'or b'chol gvulcha shivat yamim. Starter, sourdough, should not be seen in your borders for 7 days. As explicated in biblical and rabbinic law, in obligations, scriptural, and then also rabbinic in origin, Jews today are not allowed to own chametz, leavened products, and leavening agents, or to have them available in their own homes. Why was this first given in Egypt? What was the lesson that was being taught to the Israelites? There are those who have suggested that there is something repugnant to the Bible about leavening agents and the bread that it produces, an assumption that I believe is incorrect. H.E. Jacobs, in his aforementioned book about the history of bread, ponders why the Bible forbids the usage of leavened products on the altar of the Almighty. And he suggests that, quote, many taboos remain a riddle. However, there is an explanation for the taboo that prevented the Jew from bringing leavening into the presence of his God, the same leavening that he ate without qualms throughout the rest of the year. The sin offering was considered food for God. Meat that was sacrificed to God was held palatable for only 2 days. On the third day, it must be burned. This law also applied to vegetables. Now, sourness and rottenness were one and the same thing. How could one offer God something that was in a state of decay, of fermentation, of dissolution? And then Jacobs adds, with the Egyptian, as we know, it was otherwise. He worshipped endless change, the metamorphosis of all things. The Jews' sense of cleanliness and purity prohibited him from offering his God matter in dissolution. End quote. This is what Jacobs wrote about the prohibition of bringing leaven on the altar. And while it is fascinating, it is utterly, entirely wrong. Because, while it is true that leaven was not offered on the altar itself, it was quite often brought in the biblical era in the presence of the Almighty, in the words of Scripture, lifnei Hashem, in the presence of God. And in fact, on Shavuot, leavened bread was sanctified. For as the Torah explicitly tells us, 50 days after Passover, in what would be the central ritual of the day, dough was leavened deliberately and brought in the presence of God and waved by the priest standing before the altar. Why this is so, what is the meaning of this ritual, will be discussed in another episode. But it is clear that leavened bread is not considered repugnant in any way. Rather, as we have explained in a previous episode, citing the 19th century rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, or Netziv, leavened bread, which we have also noted as the invention of Egypt, is seen as a sophisticated achievement of humanity, and our grain offerings are meant to embody our utter reliance on the grace of God. It is with this in mind that we can approach the obligation of ridding one's home of leaven. As I believe I once saw in an essay published by one of the instructors at Yeshivat Har Etzion, what is occurring in Egypt as God protects his covenant people from the plague is that the entire domicile, the dwelling place, is turned, as it were, into a sacred altar. Hence the blood applied to the door. Hence the sanctity of the divine that is present at that site, protecting the Israelites. There is no leaven on altars, and there is no leaven in Israelite homes in Egypt, and in commemoration of that moment, in homes of their descendants throughout the generations. It is amazing, from the perspective of Jewish history, to ponder how thousands of years after the Israelites rid their humble homes of leaven and experience the salvation of God, their descendants are living in the Holy Land and proudly honoring their traditions in the presence of the President of the United States. It is a sign that the miracles of a people first made manifest in Egypt millennia ago continue in our own age. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.